الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بالتقوى الله عز وجل والسمع والطاعة ويقول الحق سبحانه أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. All praises are due to Allah, Lord of the worlds, and surely the best reward ultimately is for those who have taqwa. And surely there is no animosity except for the oppressor. And I bear witness that Allah is one and has no partners, and that Muhammad, the son of Abdullah, is his servant and his last messenger. And may Allah always and constantly send peace and blessings to Muhammad, to his family, to his companions, to all those who call to his way and establish his sunnah to the day of judgment. As to what follows, I begin by again cautioning myself, reminding myself and you that we should surround ourselves with the consciousness of Allah. Surround ourselves with a taqwa Allah, the ability and the quality to avoid sin, that ability and understanding shaped by khawf wa raja, shaped by fear and hope. That we fear Allah, as we fear the punishment of Allah. But at the same time, we believe that Allah is most merciful, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. The greatest quality of Allah Azza wa Jal is mercy, and so there is ultimately hope. No matter what we have done that is wrong, no matter what wrong thing came out of our mouth, no matter what action we did in our life, there is forgiveness. And Allah has told us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا, that Allah forgives all sins. And so with that hope, we reflect on the words of Allah Azza wa Jal that He has given to us. He has given to us a mighty Qur'an, a mighty last testament that has in it information that can guide us not only in the worldly life that we are living, but also gives us glimpses of the future, glimpses of al-akhirah, the next life, glimpses of when we have to meet the Creator, and we are all moving rapidly toward that time. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Shu'ara, in verses 88 to 89, Allah tells us, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, speaking about the day of judgment, that time when we will have to meet our Lord, on this day, this will be the day on which neither wealth nor children will benefit you. There will be no benefit, ultimately, from these things. You think you have money. Some religion, they think they can buy a piece of paradise. Children, you may have many children, powerful children. But Allah said, لَا يَنْفَى. There is no nafa, there is no benefit, إِلَّا, except. And so with إِلَّا, which is a separation point in the divine Arabic sentence, the same way we say La ilaha illallah, meaning nothing worthy of worship, no deity, so we clear the air, and then illa, and then Allah. So nothing ultimately to worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here, no benefit from our wealth, from our children, illa man atallaha biqalbin salim, except the one who comes to Allah with a sound heart. And the important witness here for us in our study of the book of Allah is that the key element which will give us the benefit in the next life, is the word qalbun. So qalbun salim comes again. A crucial concept that we need to spend the rest of our lives studying and trying to understand. Here it is described with salim, that it is sound, it is free from evil, it is a good heart. And we know that this is not just the physical heart. We know this is something greater, because in that case, we are not on a physical plane. And so the concept of the heart is a crucial one, not only in this life, but in the hereafter. In this life, we understood that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna fil jasadi mudgha, idha salahat, salah al jasadu kullu. Wa idha fasadat, fasad al jasadu kullu ala wa hiya al qalb." That there is a lump of flesh in the body. If it goes right, the whole body is right. If it is corrupted, the whole body is corrupted, and that is the heart. People have studied this, trying to come to grips. What did the Prophet ﷺ say? What did he mean? Because the mudra is a fleshy thing. But now we are understanding, with new breakthroughs in science, we are understanding this issue even better. That the heart itself, contrary to what people are saying, which is only pumping blood, that the heart is actually the center of the human being. That when the baby is being born, when the baby is conceived, in the embryo, when that embryo is formed, the first major system to develop is the cardiovascular system. And so it is the heart that develops first. And the difference between that organ and the rest of the organs is that every cell in the heart is moving. There's something inside of it that people have not been able to understand. Honest doctors and scientists can only call it the L force. They call it life force. There is a life force in this. They can't understand this. And they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they asked him about ar-ruh. What is the soul? What is that energy? What is that life force? And Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to them that this is from the affairs of your Lord, and you have only been given a small amount of knowledge. You've only been given a small amount of knowledge. And so that life force that is in the heart literally emanates electromagnetic waves from all of us. There is something that is there. And people feel it when there is a large group of people together and they're all emotionally caught up. You can feel electricity in your body. The electromagnetic waves. And so it comes out of the heart. It pumps into the rest of the cells of the body to empower the human being. And when that is corrupted, when that goes bad, it is a danger not only for the physical body, but it is a danger to the soul. It is a danger to the essence of the human being. But one might ask, how can you say something like this? What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about the heart? How could you say that there is a disease in the heart other than coronary heart disease? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in describing hypocrites, in Surah Al-Baqarah, right in the beginning of the Quran, in the 10th verse that we often read, Allah told in describing them, "Fi qulubihim marad, fazadahum Allahu marada, walahum adhabun alimun bima kanu yakdhibun." Allah revealed in their hearts, "Fi qulubihim marad," there is a disease in their hearts, and Allah will increase that disease. And they will have a terrible punishment because of the lies that they are putting out. And so the witness here is that the Quran itself speaks and said, "Fi qulubihim marad," there is disease in their hearts. The great scholars of Islam have pondered on this. And it is crucial for us today It is crucial for us. Especially we are in the time of tafarruq, separation. Everybody wants to separate. Husband and wife are separating. There's more divorce now than any other time in history. Communities, families break up. Tribes are breaking into little sections. Communities are breaking up. We have a new masjid born constantly. And many times we don't have to have it. But it's the time of tafarruq, of division. And so we need to try to understand, what is it? What is it we can do? How can we bring ourselves back together? How can we mend this problem? How can we cure some of the diseases of the heart? The Prophet ﷺ was very clear to us, telling us even when we line up in prayers, shoulder to shoulder, come close, so your hearts will not be divided. Put that electromagnetic field right next to your brother or your sister. Don't be divided. Come together. Allah Azza wa Jal told us, وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. Hold on to the rope of Allah all together and be not divided. And so from the diseases of the hearts and the understanding of the hearts, the great ulama have shown us that the heart itself, or the conscience of the individual, it's like a fortress. And around the fortress, there is a great wall. The wall has doors. And it is through the doors in this wall that the evil one, wal-iyadu billah, will try to enter into the life of the individual to corrupt the heart. Because the issue, one of the main issues now of the evil ones, is to corrupt the hearts. Knowing that the heart is such an important thing, I remember in the year 2000, when missionaries, an extreme group of Christian missionaries, made announcement publicly. It was the title of the Newsweek magazine. I was shocked to see something like this even in a syndicated newspaper. It said, the battle for the hearts. The battle for the hearts. Where was the battle? The essence of the battle, they said, was in Africa and in Asia. It was a battle for the hearts of the people. And that the Christian forces had come into the African continent and into Asia with an intention to evangelize the people out of Islam into Christianity. But they didn't say the battle for the religions. They didn't say the battle for denomination. They said it was a battle for the hearts. Because they understood that the essence of individuals is not the physical part of us. The essence is inside. From the diseases of the heart, one of the chief diseases that needs to be understood and dealt with is al-kibr, pride. Pride has an outward form and an inward form. The most dangerous is the inward form. And that inward form, which is chiefly the description of al-kibr, that is when the individual feels that they are better than other people because of some physical reason. Because of their family, or because of their height, or because of their color, or because of their language. But they feel that they deserve more food. They deserve more wealth. And shockingly enough, they are saying that there's only like 85 individuals in the world today that actually control the resources of billions of other people. They have more than billions. What gives that one rich individual the right to have billions of dollars when there are other human beings with the same heart and the same blood and the same body and they have nothing? It's kibr, pride, the feeling self-exaltation. I am better than him. And the essence of this came with the Iblis, with the shaitan, wal-iyadu billah, who said he refused to bow down to Adam. And that is because you created him from clay. You created me from fire. So because how he was created, He refused to bow down. That is the essence of kibr. The outward form of al-kibr comes in takabbur, which is arrogance. And takabbur now is not just what's in your mind or your heart, it is now what is coming out, and that is with arrogance, pushing people away, looking down on people, saying bad words to other individuals, harming people. This is the takabbur that we see coming out. And it is a dangerous quality. The one that got the shaitan, well, iyadhu billah, he was cursed and is cursed until the day of resurrection because of the pride. And all those who have pride will also be cooperating or enjoying or suffering under that curse. What is the cure? The great scholars say in all diseases of the heart, there is a knowledge cure and there is an action cure, an action cure. What is the knowledge cure for pride? Remember ourself. Where did we come from? We came from a humble place. Go back to see, study the embryo, study how a human being is formed. That we are a tiny clot of blood. And now we stand, and sometimes we even try to defy our Creator, well, iyadhu billah. The essence of pride. Understand who we are. We need to understand, no matter how safe you think you are, at any moment, you can have a heart attack. At any moment, driving on the road, somebody can come out, well, iyadhu billah, la samahallah, and hit you and kill you. At any moment, even the richest, most famous people, most protected people on earth, have no control over their destiny. So why are they proud? And then all of us ultimately leave this world. We have to go to death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Every soul will taste death. Why are we proud? We don't own anything here. If you have millions of dollars and built houses and have vehicles and everything, that doesn't belong to you. It probably belongs to the bank in most cases. If it doesn't belong to the bank, then your children might get it. Or the city might get it. But we cannot take it with us. What is going to benefit us in the next life? Allah told us, qalbun salim. If that disease is out of the heart, take the pride out. This is the example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is said that when they came into Medina to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had such an image, such a reputation, they trembled in fear. And when they came to Medina and looked at the circle, they looked, if he wasn't teaching, they said, which one of you is the Prophet? They couldn't see it. Because he didn't look different than other people, especially people like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Uthman ibn Affan, Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, Abdurrahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhum. He didn't look different than them. But when he started to teach, then they knew exactly who he was. Even though they were afraid when they met him, they never wanted to leave him because of his humility, the way he dealt with other people, although he is the most mighty messenger of all of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second part is the action cure. And that is that we need to humble ourselves. We need to do simple work. We need to listen to a child, the children. Let the child correct you. Admit when you're wrong. Wear humble clothing if you don't wear simple clothing. Wear humble clothing. Do work. The Prophet ﷺ engaged himself in all of the different actions of his companions. And it is said that Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu, when he was appointed as Amir al-Mu'mineen and the armies went north, a disease broke out in Syria. And Umar asked him to leave. And Abu Ubaidah said, I will not leave. Whatever strikes my men, I will have the same. I am no different than them. Complete humility. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. And so al-kibar, pride, a terrible poisoning disease of the heart. Number two, And there are so many, but number two today that we will look at is al-ghadab. Kathrat al-ghadab. It is anger. Uncontrolled anger. And this is when something opposes you, somebody says something different than you, or something happens in your life against you, and you lose control. The boiling of the blood, foaming at the mouth, wanting revenge. Ghadab means revenge. And that is one of the most dangerous elements today circulating amongst Muslims. A wrong was done to you by somebody and you want revenge. And they say, if you do something wrong with this tribe, they will fight you until the day of judgment. That is not the way of Rasulullah and his companions. They were tortured by the Quraysh, driven out of their homes, but yet they took them back as brothers and sisters. And so ghadab, we need to think about this ghadab and control our emotions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, there is a time for the emotions. There is a time. And that is the balanced emotion. Balanced emotion. When it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the right place. But forgiveness, forgiving each other and forgiving those who are around us. What is the cure? We need to reflect upon the ugliness. Reflect upon the ugliness of getting angry. Reflect upon the form that it takes the body. Reflect upon the deeds that it makes individuals do, and we see it today happening amongst us. We need to reflect on this. We need to reflect on our position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and what could happen to us in the next life. What is the action cure? The action cure is that we need to make isti'adha min ash-shaytan. We need to seek refuge from the evil one. If that feeling is boiling up in us, if we are standing up, sit down. If we're sitting down, lay down. If that won't work, make wudu, make ghusl, put water on the self. Leave the room. But we need now to control these emotions that are building up inside of us in such a dangerous way. Wal-iyadu billah. The heart itself is like a fort. And there are certain entrances into the fort. And I want to mention a few of these practical points. Practical points given by our scholars from the traditions, and you will see how in life today they actually have come to pass. Of the entrances of the evil one into the heart is a shahawat, the desires. The physical desires for food, for thirst, for procreation. Also the love of wealth. Not just taking care of your family, but loving money. Loving wealth, loving clothes. Loving that new car that you have. If you love it, you have a problem. Because if it's taken away from you, who is your Lord? Also the scholars say, try not to be completely satisfied whenever you eat. Try not to be completely satisfied. And fast as much as you possibly can. The scholars also tell us that from these madakhil iblis, the entrances into our hearts is the desire for people to glorify you. The desire to be praised. And you will see today with politicians, with rock stars, with athletes, when the desire for praise comes in, their life is ruined. They end up taking drugs, they end up committing crimes because they want the praise and they lose their connection with the Creator of the heavens and the earth. One of the great scholars said that one of the issues that we need to consider is doing things too fast, with haste. And the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-ajala min ash-shaytan. He said it straight. Haste is from the devil. Before we make decisions, take our time. Take our time and think about the things that we are doing. The sunnah way is to be innocent with each other. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma was reported to have said, There were three people in Quraysh. They were the best of the people, the best in character, extremely modest. When they spoke to you, they told you the truth. And when you speak to them, they do not accuse you of lying. They don't suspect other individuals. And they had haya, kathir al-haya, modesty, shame. They knew their limits. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, Uthman ibn Affan, and Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. This is the sunnah way. This is the innocent way. And we can learn innocence from our children. Sometimes the lead comes from our children. And alhamdulillah, today our children have, of the school, have done an excellent job in putting together clothing for the children of Syria. And so we need to, as a community, support our school. May Allah bless them for their efforts, and may Allah increase them in their knowledge and their strength. And may Allah give innocence and love to all of our hearts and purify us from the evil that might reach us. Remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us, it is the day when nothing of your wealth, nothing of your children will have any benefit to you, illa man ata Allah biqalbin salim, except the one who meets his Lord with a pure heart. May Allah purify our hearts, purify our deeds, and forgive us for what we have done. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب استغفروا إنه هو غفور رحيم. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأصلي وأسلم على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد فيا عباد الله اتقوا الله حيثما كنتم ويقول الحق سبحانه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وارض الله عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبو بكر عمر عثمان وعلي وعنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداء الدين وانصر عبادك يا رب العالمين اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان خصوصا في بلاد الشام يا أرحم الراحمين لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريدا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين عباد الله يرحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون أقم الصلاة